That night, he had the dream again. Given the events of the day, how could he not? The nightmare began as it always did, with him at home, standing on the front porch on a hot, muggy summer evening and watching as Lauren and Alexis walked hand in hand down the street. They were off on an innocent quest for ice cream. He heard Alexis, a spry, freckled wisp of a child, say she wanted vanilla with mint chocolate chips.
Two scoops.
He saw Lauren, lithe and deeply tan, glance first at the reddening sky to the west and then down at the blonde girl in her teddy bear t-shirt and blue shorts.
Two scoops,
she agreed as she tucked a loose strand of long brown hair behind her ear. Four blocks away, a rusted green car, a monstrous road hog, tore through a red light. The car sported an endless span of metal grille above the front bumper and oversized fins that swept ludicrously up and outward from the rear fenders. As it bore down the street, engine roaring, the vehicle gained speed and momentum. Kubiak saw the behemoth approach. He wanted to rush out and tackle his wife and daughter and pull them out of harm's way, but he couldn't move. He could only stand, riveted to the spot, as the two-ton wreck hurtled out of the twilight. When the car hit, mother and daughter somersaulted through the air like rag dolls and flopped clumsily to the pavement, where they lay with arms and legs twisted at odd angles to their bodies. A pool of blood seeped out from behind Alexis's left ear. Lauren's grasp momentarily tightened around the girl's hand, then fell loose and limp. As they stared upward to heaven, the car sped on. The block was eerily quiet. Then a neighbor screamed. A screen door slammed, and people raced out into the street. Holding their hands to their faces, they turned away, weeping. Off in the far distance, an ambulance siren screeched, already too late. Bellowing with rage, Kubiak clawed through the crowd and gathered the lifeless bodies into his arms. He carried them home and upstairs to the second floor. In the master bedroom, he laid them side by side on the king-size bed, gently placing Alexis's tiny bruised hand in her mother's palm. Then he wiped the blood and dirt from their faces and limbs and kissed their suntanned cheeks. From the bedroom window, he saw the green car idling behind the garage, the driver leaning against the hood, drunken and defiant. Kubiak confronted him in the alley, and they went at each other, bare-fisted. No one witnessed their battle. It was a brutal, protracted fight. In the end, Kubiak broke the man's neck, cracking the upper vertebrae of his spinal column and severing the carotid connection between brain and heart. Then he hoisted the dead man over his shoulder, carried him up the stairs, and dumped the body on the bare floor of the bedroom. Lauren woke first and stroked her daughter's cheek until the little girl stirred.
"Daddy, I didn't get my ice cream," Alexis said. He cupped her chin.
"You will," he promised. The three stood by the body. At a signal from Kubiak, they dragged the corpse to the open window, heaved it over the sill, and watched it float down, feather-like, into the yard. Before it hit the ground, it vanished. In the alley, the green car crystallized and blew away into oblivion. Kubiak and his family returned to the accident scene. The neighbors had washed away all traces of blood and dispatched the ambulance driver back to the hospital with vague looks and murmurs of false alarms. The job done, they drifted back into their houses as Kubiak and his wife and child walked past on their way to the ice cream shop.